This is an interview with Mr. John Popa of 975 Overlook in Alliance. The interview is being made on September the 8th, 1976, in his living room. I'm Lyle Chris during the interview, and I've not known Mr. Popa in a personal way prior to this conversation. We're going to talk a little bit about his background in local industry. And would you begin this by indicating when you began that career in local industry?
Well, I started May 7th in 1936 at the American Steel Foundries. I got a job in a core department and started in there as a labor general. Well, that was quite a chore at that time anyway, because they talk about work and benefits now, but we started there around, I believe it was around 30 cents an hour in that range. And I mean work, because I started in the morning at 7, just never stopped till quitting time at 3. Even lunch, why, I grabbed a sandwich and ate on a run, because my type of job, I was helping service some of the core makers and doing some of their work, and it was really something that kept the person quite busy.
Now, maybe we should back up just a bit. Would you indicate when you, are you a native of Alliance? If not, when you came first?
Yes, I was born in Alliance, 1914, and lived in Alliance practically all my life. During the war, I did transfer out to cast armor plant, again a plant operated by the American Steel Foundries, and we'll probably cover that in our interview a little bit later.
Well, then your career has essentially been with American Steel Foundries the entire time?
Practically all my life. I did work prior to American Steel. I worked in Canton for 4 years, but my main lifetime has been with American Steel Foundries.
Now, how did you make your contact with American Steel in the first place? What got you there?
Well, while I was working in Canton, that was quite a problem. I didn't have a car and ride the streetcar to Canton, then walk a half hour from the streetcar to the shop. It took me about 2 hours before work and 2 hours after work, so I did try to get a job here in town. And at that time, you could ask somebody to put in a word for you at the various shops and industries. And that's what I did. I had a friend of mine asked if he could get me in down to American Steel. And he did talk to somebody. And I believe it was George O'Brien, who was prominent in sports years ago here in town. But I did get a job that way through another person.
And would you describe just a little bit of the specific nature of your work in the core department? Just what that involved?
The job that I hired in as was, as the labor general mentioned, but it was actually a chaining or hitching type job. I helped with another fellow and I helped. We hitched up these racks and stands and containers that the core makers would make their cores on, and then we would take this container over to a baking oven and put the container in the oven where the cores would bake. You would leave them in various times depending on the size and thickness of the cores. So it was a job that, like the core makers did work incentive, but we worked by the hour, and yet we had to keep the incentive workers busy, because if they got even 5 minutes delay, you would hear about it in a hurry.
What specifically was being made? What was the end product?
It was the cores, and the cores were used in molds, and the molds, eventually steel was poured into them in the making of railroad castings. American Steel Foundries makes, 99% components for railroad castings, for the railroad cars. You might have noticed these couplers that holds the cars together. the side frames that the wheel and axle goes through, the bolster casting, the yoke, the housing, many, many castings on the railroad car itself. You see them on a box car, you see them on the gondola cars and such.
And would you describe for us your continuing career with American Steel, just perhaps go through the sequence of the other work that you did?
Mm-hmm. Well, eventually I moved up to oven operator in operating these ovens, and that just gave me a lot more work, and I think I got 2 or 3 cents an hour increase, though. So that was a great thing. Imagine getting 20 or 25 cents a day increase, but at that time we felt it was quite important because it was a merit increase. It was something that the other fellow didn't get. And
well, this was still in the 1930s?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. And then eventually, after about 3 years on labor general and oven operator, I moved to core making. And on core making, you worked incentive. And, oh, I made big money then. I was making $6 and $7 a day, which was quite a lot of money to take home. Taxes weren't near as high, and you could buy a lot for them at that time. I was on that job for a while, and I noticed one time on the bulletin boards that they were opening up a class, a training course down to shop, and I was interested definitely in moving on to better type job. I wasn't content to be a core maker. I felt I was young, and I felt I should learn something more than that. But I did go to the personnel department and apply, and at that time I didn't get too much satisfaction from them, but I saw the works manager, Joe Wagner, in a plant one day, and everybody was a little bit afraid of Joe Wagner. He was quite a person that he seemed tough and act tough, but he was very kind, I feel. But anyways, I talked to Mr. Wagner, and I told him who I was and that I was interested in moving ahead and learning something, a trade or whatever. I told him I'd noticed this course was starting up. He told me to go back to the personnel and tell them that he sent me to them and that I should be enrolled in that training course. And I was to go back to him again and tell him just the results of it, which I did. But I eventually did get enrolled in a course, and it was a course that we went 2 nights a week, and it was supposed to be for 3 years, but we went a total of 4 years altogether, learning the duties and responsibilities of the various departments in the shop. Well, that gave me a start down there because I met the different foremen in various departments and saw what was being done in the various departments, and that did help me an awful lot because there was a job opened up they called a molding practice job. It was a clerical type job, but consisted of some mechanical drawing, but mostly a record keeping, and even though I had never done that, I felt that I wanted to try it so that it'd be a step forward. And I did get started on that.
From well, at what time, what year are we talking about?
Well, I would say that was about, let's see, I started in 36, and this was around 1940. But I was about 4 years or so on the other jobs. And this was about 1940, and I did go on this molding practice job, and I was on that possibly about 3 months, and at that time, Gordon Robertson, he just retired not too long ago as the works manager down there. He was the assistant, and he came up to me. He was sort of my boss. He came up to me one day, and he said, "John, I'm going to have to take you off the job." Well, I felt a little bad. I thought, what the heck? I did try to do the best I could, and I told him, I said, "Well, Mr. Robson, I told you I would try. I would try to do the best I could." He said, "Well," he said, "don't worry about it." He said, "You did do a good job on it," but he said, we've got an opening as a unit foreman in production, and we want to put you on that job.
Mm. So he was bringing you good news.
He was bringing me good news, but I at first thought that it was bad news. I thought, he's going to take me off the job. And I really did try, though. I didn't have the actual ability to make drawings and such like other individuals would, but I tried and they were passable, I believe. But I did go on unit foreman, and that I was on that not too long, and again the word was out and throughout shop that they were looking for foreman at a new plant that the company was going to operate for the government. It was a cast armor plant in East Chicago, Indiana, and there was a large foundry making all components for tanks, the turrets and the front end and the hulls and all tank casting parts, large castings.
Now, would these be larger castings than what American Steel did in Alliance?
Oh yes, there were castings that weighed up to 10,000, 20,000 pounds. Here at Alliance, we made castings weighing 700-800 pounds. So it was an entirely different type of work and quite advanced from type of work that I had been doing, but I was interested. And I did sign up, fill up an application for that. And, well, eventually I did hear from them that I was accepted. I went to Granite City Works at down in Illinois in 1941, and I was there 3 months on a training course in cast armor work. They were doing some of the cast armor work at that time, and then I went up to the cast armor plant in East Chicago and worked there as an expediter and followed different jobs, because at that time there wasn't even a roof on the building when I went in. Eventually, when that plant was completed, it was the largest steel foundry in the world under one roof. Made tank castings for American tanks for the war, and did quite a job. In fact, it was received many citations from the government for their wonderful production that they got. We started in there with people that were completely untrained. You tell a laborer, get that shovel and get that sand and put it in a core box, and he'd say, get what and put where. He had no idea what we were talking about. A craneman, a chainman, an oven operator, a lift truck driver, a tester, an inspector, every individual had to be trained.
All right, now this is at the time of World War II.
Right.
Now, were the employees in American Steel and in the plant where you were, were they those who were not yet of draft age? Were those the ones who were being hired, or were they predominantly older men? Would you elaborate on that a bit?
They were. Most of the draft age men were gone. We had people that were picked up from other type of jobs. Well, I'll tell you the truth, there were a lot of bartenders and and car dealers, and we had an awful lot of women working there. Their husbands were in the service, and they wanted to do their duty for the country, and they did a fantastic job, these women, believe me.
Now, you were a foreman?
I was the assistant general foreman there eventually. I ended up assistant general foreman in complete charge of one shift at cast armor plant.
Then when did you come back to Alliance?
I came back to Alliance while the war started to taper down, and I came back to Alliance in March of 1944. And I came back on special assignment work here. Well, we re-lined up the department, the core department that I had worked there. It used to be all entirely crane service. And one of my first jobs was to set up the department for lift truck service. And we did accomplish that. And actually, eventually, the cranes were taken down, and the moving of the supplies and cores and material was done by lift truck. And then I had other types of work similar to that in the various departments. And on June 1st of 44, they made a change in a department, and I was assigned as general foreman or department head in the department, in the core department. And I was on that job for 20 years. In the meantime, I was also assigned assistant to the works manager, again on special assignments. In 1952, went back to the cast armor plant on a temporary basis. We set up various projects in a plant, various departments of job inspection, job method training. We organize the people in setting up specific methods on particular jobs, and we put it down on the record so that the same job would be done the same way from one shift to another. And job evaluation program, I worked on that. And just many, many duties in my years at American Steel.
Now, when did those years with American Steel terminate?
Terminated? Well, to make it just a little bit more to it, I did work eventually. I went on safety program as a safety supervisor at American Steel. And I worked about 8 years on that job. And my duties at the American Steel terminated on June 1st of 1974, after a little over 38 years of service.
Now, you've seen industry in Alliance, Ohio over the span of 38 years, and the role which American Steel founders played certainly has been a significant one. Do you have any thoughts about I gather from your comment that much of your work had to do with training and educating and getting people to learn skills and so on. What has all this meant to Alliance Ohio? Dollars and cents, yes. But is there any thought you have about the role of industry in terms of the quality of life? Has yours been a good life as an industrially oriented experience?
Very much so. I had a lot of wonderful opportunities at American Steel. I had a high school diploma. I graduated in 1932, and although I had planned prior to that to go on to college, we ended up in a depression period, and there was no thought of college anymore, but I still felt that I wanted to do better than just the ordinary person. So through the American Steel, I did get the opportunities. I had chance for advancement. I received a lot of training. I was on many, many training courses throughout my years at the shop. That's one thing about the shop and industry in general. They will train you forever, it seems like it, because they want you to improve. And as long as you have the ability to learn and want to learn, they will train you. And it makes a big difference in your life. It makes you a much better person out of you. I saw many, many changes down to shop. When I started in there, much of the work was heavy manual work and dirty work, very dusty, very dirty, very smoky. But over the years, you could see the improvement in air conditioners and dust removers and equipment to lift, to do the take the manual work out of away from the employee, so that he could use his skills to make a better product. And a railroad casting has to be a good product because, again, when you see a freight train go by and there's 100 and 125 cars or more on that train, them castings must hold and pull the weight and hold the weight of the railroad cars and the total package in it. And you can't have a poor product. So I think that has improved, and the product has improved over the years. It has made better people. There are many people on salary in industry and down to American Steel primarily, and they end up with nice homes. I was fortunate. I with a high school diploma, I ended up as a department head for 20 years. I was able to buy my home, pay for my home. It's not a large home, but it's ours. It's mine, and it is paid for, thank God. And we do enjoy our life here. We were able to travel some. We were able to live a nice life as a result of our efforts at the American Steel.
Appreciate all those comments. And I'm not sure that there are any areas that we've missed. I'd like to ask you that. Is there any other comments you'd care to make about the type of work that you did or its influence in your life?
Nothing in particular. There was one thing I thought might be of interest, We had a lot of interesting things happen during our years there. And just have to think of one is working at the cast armor plant there in East Chicago. Coming home over the holidays, the trains were crowded, soldier boys were on the move in all directions in the country. And I remember one Christmas, I went to Englewood Station to get on a train there, and train pulled up and not a soul got on there. So there was about 20, 25 people waiting there, and they couldn't get on, and we waited for the next train to come in, and again we couldn't get on, but I noticed several fellows running to the baggage car, and I thought, well, I wonder what they're doing. So anyways, the next third train had come in, I run to the baggage car, and I went to climb into the car, and the brakeman or conductor was there, and he said, you can't get on here. And there were some soldier boys there, and they said, leave him get on. He wants to get home just as bad as we do. And they helped me get into the car, and we actually sat on a casket all the way home to Alliance. And that's how crowded the trains were, but it was wanting to get home for the holidays. And that was an incident that stuck with me, because I can remember those boys saying, he wants to get home just as badly as we do.
Well, that shows that in time of war or peace, big town or small town, there are certain emotions we all have that it's good to share in that way. Well, John, it's been a pleasure chatting with you on this 8th of September, 1976, sharing some of your experiences and thoughts about your 38 years of experience with American Steel Foundries here in Alliance, Ohio. On behalf of the Oral History Project, I thank you very much.
Thank you.